Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. Pastor Clint Poppy, Pastor John Schmidt, Vicar Bader, Vicar Albert Bader, Vicar A.J. Bader. For the next 12 months, he is simply known as Vicar. He has lost his first name and his identity as he prepares for the office of the Holy Ministry one day. We serve here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd love to have you join us for worship. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also gather every Wednesday evening at 6:30. That's year-round and gives us an extra opportunity to either observe the minor festivals or to take a look at these readings in even greater detail. Instead of just once, we get to look at them twice, Sunday and Wednesday. If you are in the area, please join us in person. We are also live on KNNA 95.7 LP right here in Lincoln. Outside of the listening area, we have the website where you can go to, www.thecross957.org, where you can just click on Listen Live. You can download the app, all kinds of ways to listen to us in and around Lincoln and throughout the world. We'd love to have your feedback as well. In our first segment today, we looked at our introit from Psalm 74, talking about the covenant promises of God, how faith clings to those promises and holds those promises in God's faith. We looked in our second segment at everything surrounding the gospel reading and the parable that Jesus tells, and we're right now ready to hear the parable. Luke 10:23-37, the man, the lawyer, trying to justify himself, says, well, who is my neighbor? Is it the whole block? Is it just the person on my left and my right? Is it the people who look like me? Is it the people who talk like me? If we can define neighbor small enough, well, then maybe there's a chance I can actually keep the law. That's what's going on here in order to justify himself. And Jesus sees right through it because Jesus is God in the flesh. And Jesus tells this parable to prick the conscience of the lawyer and us as well. Vicar, would you remind us again and read verses 30 through 37?
Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'"
Okay, that's the guts of the parable here. So let's take a look here. We've got four main players. We got a guy who's going on a journey. Jerusalem to Jericho, pretty common journey, a journey that is fraught with danger. We got robbers and thieves hiding behind the rocks, hiding in the nooks and crannies, waiting in the dark to take advantage of a traveler, and he gets beat up. He is left half dead. They stripped him. They beat him. They're robbers, so assuming they robbed him as well. And lo and behold, who comes by? A man of God. A man of God, a priest. And what would we expect, Pastor? What would we expect this man of God, this priest, to do when he sees the person who has been beaten and left half dead in the ditch?
Well, the assumption is that this fellow is going to show mercy to this poor man, and after all, who should be most inclined to do that? other than a man of God.
Yes, he should be inclined to do that. And if he's not going to get his hands dirty, at least he could do is get out his cell phone and call 911 and wait until the ambulance arrives, that kind of a thing, whatever the equivalent would be in first century Palestine. There are certainly ways to go and get help if you weren't going to, but that takes time. That takes energy. That takes, what was that word you used? Mercy? Compassion? Yes, and that's in short supply. That's in short shrift today. So the man who's beaten and left half dead strikes out on the first one. But lo and behold, thanks be to God, the next person that comes by is an even holier man of God. He's a Levite. And pastor, what would the expectation be with regard to this Levite?
Well, the same thing again. Here's somebody who also functions in the temple. But as one author points out, when you're journeying on a dangerous road like this, you're probably aware of who's walking ahead of you or behind you. And since the first guy didn't help, why should I?
So there's a couple of things going on here. It could be that they feared for their own skin. It could be that they were just too busy. It could just be that they were downright hypocrites, serving in the church but having no faith that means nothing to them. Their faith is a faith of words but no actions. So they passed by on the other side. Not only did they not want to look at him, they didn't want to accidentally touch him and get ceremonially unclean. Yeah, so they miss out on their paycheck, too. So we got all kinds of stuff here. And as Pastor Morundi would say, the next part of the parable is the that's crazy part. You got two holy men, two men of God who walk by and go by on the other side and do nothing for this man who's beaten and left half dead. Who comes by next, Vicar?
The Samaritan, the man hated by Jews.
The man hated by Jews, a Samaritan. Why were Samaritans hated by Jews?
They were seen sort of as a half-breed people, people that might have been a little Jewish and kind of worship possibly in a Jewish way, but on Mount Gerizim, not in Jerusalem. And so they were seen as being half-Jewish, but also half-pagan. And they were unclean people. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. If a Jew was traveling from Galilee to Judea, they would have to pass through the region of Samaria, but they didn't want to do that. They didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. So they would actually head east, jump over the River Jordan, go down around the Sea of Galilee, around Samaria, and then cut back over the Jordan to get into Judea so that they wouldn't have anything to do with the Samaritans.
That's kind of like a Nebraskan who needs to go to Minnesota but does not want to have his car even on the roads of Iowa. And so he will go through South Dakota. Or, I'm just joshing, John. That could never happen, right? All right. Yeah, we have no comprehension of the hatred, the Hatfield and McCoy kind of hatred that was going on here at this particular time. And so the Samaritan is the one, and I want to touch on a very, very, you know, we don't want to get bogged down on the details. You know, he takes care of him. He takes care of him. It even costs him money. But the word there, when he saw him, he had compassion. Pastor, talk a little bit about that word compassion and the uniqueness of that word and what that word means for the Christian today.
Well, that's verse 33, isn't it? This is one of your favorite words, isn't it?
Yes, I just love to say it because...
I'll let you say it.
Thank you. Splunknitzomai. Splunknitzomai. Okay, compassion.
It means I feel it in my gut that this is an awful situation. And apparently, as it's used in the Middle East, is the idea of your guts feeling like they've been torn, like something has so twisted you up and so torn at you that you not only say, you know, well, that's a bad thing, and then go on your way. This affects you, And it's frankly, yes, it's a wonderful word. And it really gets at the fact that this man is depicted here, this Samaritan, as not only feeling compassion or sympathy or whatever terms people like to use or don't like to use, that he acts on it.
And I think that is the key. It's easy for us to have pity on a situation. You know, we watch these late night TV commercials where we have abandoned animals and animal cruelty, or even starving children, you know, in parts of the world. And it's easy to have pity and then change the channel. Compassion is actually stopping and writing down the website and getting out your checkbook or your charge card, or maybe even buying an airplane ticket and going and adopting one of these suffering children. Pity is superficial. The kind of compassion that we're talking about here is an action word. The Samaritan takes action. It takes time. Whatever he had planned, whatever business or whatever wares he was doing, that took second seat to the person who was hurt. He took him to the inn. He made sure that his wounds were dressed. He took money out of his own pocket and paid for it. He followed up and said that if there's more expenses, I will pay. All of this from the half-breed scoundrel that everybody looked down on, the last person in the world that you would think would have compassion on this kind of a person. Now remember, Jesus is telling this parable to the lawyer. Who's my neighbor? And the lawyer more than likely would have said, my neighbor is anybody except a Samaritan. And so you see what Jesus is doing here, teaching him that everyone is your neighbor. Everyone. I want to, we're getting a little bit close on our time segment here. I want to ask one more thing, Pastor. At the end, Jesus says, now which of these, Jesus asking these diagnostic questions again, which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? The lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy.
He can't bear to say Samaritan.
He can't, can he?
It's just beyond his comprehension that this could ever be the way things should be depicted. And yet that's exactly what Jesus does.
And we cannot bear the thought of showing mercy to someone that we despise and to someone that we hate, maybe even for just reasons. But Jesus has laid down his life. It cost him more than gold or silver, but his holy precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. He paid the penalty for us. He was beaten and bruised to win forgiveness and salvation for us, who were left for dead along the road because of the reality of our sin. Jesus showed mercy and compassion to us. And now we, being forgiven and restored, we who have new life in Christ, we can love our neighbor as Christ has loved us. What a marvelous parable for us, and what a marvelous reminder of God's great love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to take a short break. This is Proclaiming the One. We're looking at the readings for the 13th Sunday after Trinity. We'll be right back.